Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Gnosis is the root wisdom of all the world's great religions. Gnosis is a universal doctrine containing the precise science to free the soul from suffering. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Many of these lectures are supported by additional information on our website. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an anonymous chat session, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. All of the efforts of Telema Press are supported by listeners like you. For more information or to make a donation, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we will begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
Good morning. We are starting the lecture entitled The Sealed Book, continuing with the lectures on the Book of Revelation. To begin, we have to explain that the book, the sealed book that the Book of Revelation talks about, is the same Book of Revelation that symbolizes the human being. In many lectures, we explain that the human being is made of seven bodies. And each body has seven chakras. This is why you see in the internet the graphics and explanation related with this lecture entitled The Sealed Book. Because indeed, the human being is a sealed book. But in order to become a human being, we have to work very hard. Many times we explain that the human being, or the man, as the book of Genesis in the Bible explains, does not exist. That many people think that the man made into the image of God is everybody. But based on the previous lecture that we already gave, we stated that we have to create that human being, because the true human being has physical body, vital body, emotional body, mental body, the body of willpower, the body of the consciousness, and the spirit. That's the true human being. So if we are not aware of all of these bodies, it is because we need to create them. Usually, people have just the physical body. And this is why Moses in Genesis wrote the 7 days in order to explain the way in which the man has to be created, the human being, which is the goal of creation, the goal of divinity. We explain in other lectures that God has no form, but in order to appear in the form, in the matter, he created, or he creates, the human being. And there's a period of initiations, a development, in order to do it. Once that human being is created, then we have the book. Because within each body, we find powers, latent powers that we had to develop. Because even though the human being is created, or the solar bodies are created, God cannot abide within those bodies if we do not annihilate the animal nature within us, which in the book of Revelation and many other books in the Bible are referred as demons, Baalim, the enemies of God, the unbelievers, and many titles that are given onto those psychological aggregates that everybody has within. And this is something that we have to understand, because one thing is to create the internal bodies in order to make the book, and another thing is to write within that book. So to write within that book is to elaborate, to develop the divine attributes of God within the human being, in order for that human being to become into the image of God. When we said image, it comes into my mind a mirror. When you go into a mirror and you see your face, then you see the image of yourself that is reflected in the mirror. So in this case, we have to emphasize that the consciousness, the soul, the essence, the anima in Latin, is that mirror that need to develop, needs to acquire different levels in order to reflect the different attributes of that which we call God. Remember that God is infinite in his creation, related with creation, related with what we call the manifested God, the manifested Logos. But beyond that, we find the absolute, which in Kabbalah we call the Ein, the Ein Sof, and the Ein Sof Or, the three aspects of the unknowable divine, which cannot, has no form, cannot be defined, because it's beyond form. But the goal of the unknowable divine is to reflect its attributes in the human being. But that's a process. It's not like people think that everybody here is reflecting the attributes of God, because as we said in the lecture, that will be a joke, a bad joke. We have to emphasize and to look what are precisely those books or different types of human beings that reflect the attributes of God within themselves. Because that is precisely that we have to become with the process of initiation or psychological work within us. That's why you see the graphic that we place in the internet, which is the rainbow, or the different seven colors of the rainbow, which symbolize, of course, the seven bodies. Remember that after the great flood, in which humanity was destroyed in the past, the sign of alliance between man and God was the rainbow. That rainbow symbolizes the seven bodies of light, pure light, which is the reflection of God in each human being. And in each body, we find the seven churches, which are the seven chakras that we explained broadly in many lectures. So that is the book. And every page of that book is related with the consciousness. That's why in many Gnostic books we emphasize that we have to build soul, we have to build consciousness, we have to build spirit. To build that means to develop through the initiation. In the universe, there are different types of human beings. There are different types of books that reflect different aspects of the Absolute, of God. If we examine, for instance, the planet Earth, the consciousness of the people of this planet, we discover with sadness that the people, or we better said, the consciousness, the soul, or the people of this planet reflect Klipath, talking in Kabbalistic terms. Klipath is not God, but the shadow of God, because the tree of life is formed by all of the parts or attributes of God, which are made by 10 Sephiroth, 10 manifested Sephiroth. But below that tree of life, we have Klipoth, which is the shadow of the tree of life, in which we find the negative aspects related with that which the Bible calls Satan, the enemy, which is, in this case, the symbol of the ego. This is what we reflect. That's why when people said, I am made into the image of God, and then we answer, what are you reflecting? What is your consciousness reflecting from inside to outside? See, humanity, the individual is the extension, or the extension of the individual is society. If this humanity, this society is corrupted, it's because the individual is corrupted. The consciousness of the individual does not reflect the tree of life, but Klipoth, which in Christian terms are called Inferno or Hell, Averno. It receives many names. In Sanskrit, they call it Avicii. Many religions named Hell in different ways. And that is, of course, the subconsciousness, unconsciousness, and infraconsciousness. So this is what we reflect. But if we want to reflect our own particular individual inner God, then we have to create the appropriate vehicles in order for that inner God to reflect its attributes in each one of us. And this is precisely the beginning. In the beginning, when we reach the fifth initiation, when we explained that we create all of the bodies inside, we are already that book. But that book, we will say, is a type of Hanasmus book. Because God has all the solar bodies, but the ego is still alive in the initiate. So therefore, that initiate has to annihilate the ego. because the ego cannot exist or cannot mingle with God, with the inner God, whether we have God within or the ego. So here we have the solar bodies, and this initiate that reached this level is already called a twice born. Not a twice born as the Christian or the fundamentalists believe that they are twice born just because they believe in Jesus. Nobody becomes a twice born by believing in anything. That is a process of alchemy. The mysteries of that in which you create astral body, mental body, and causal body. You create the Merkaba, the vehicle for that God to incarnate in you. But once that is created, the Merkaba or the Sahu, the Egyptian Sahu, the Tosoma Heliakon, you have to annihilate the ego in order for that monad, for that inner God to incarnate. That is what is called reincarnation. You see, that is why we disagree with many people that study esotericism from India. They think that everybody reincarnates. While in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Krishna states very clear that only the gods reincarnate. And the gods, of course, referring to the inner spirits, the inner gods which each one of us has within. The rest of people return mechanically. Sometimes they remember their past life, sometimes they do not remember. So that's called return and reoccurrence, which happens to everybody, even to animals, to plants, minerals, because that is related with evolution. Evolution goes through the law of return and reoccurrence. But in order for us to enter into the law of reincarnation, we have to reach the level of human being. We have to build, in other words, astral body, mental body, and causal body. Once those bodies are created, we are complete. And then God, the monad, can reincarnate, can enter. You know, reincarnate means to be in the flesh. But I repeat, it's not enough to create the solar bodies in order for God to reincarnate. There are many, even many Gnostics that are mistaken. They think that once the individual reaches the fifth initiation of major mysteries, which is the creation of the causal body, body of willpower, that initiate incarnates his monad. Wrong. He doesn't incarnate his monad. It just reincarnates the rest of the human soul. That's it. The human soul, which is that soul that has his own particular will, that fell or falls. So that soul is the only part of the monad that is within that master. And if that master wants to incarnate in that physical body, that soul, Tifereth, which is there, has to annihilate the whole ego. When the whole ego is annihilated, then enters into the book. It is because the book is already written. And then it is what is called the Lamb is within the book, within the Bodhisattva, within the prophet, if you want to call it. Then that human being enters into the level of Ishim. In Hebrew, man is called Ish and woman Isha. As in English, we call it man and woman, just for respect. But really, in order to reach that level of Ish, Shin has to be within you. You have to reflect God within your consciousness. In the lower level. That's the lower level. It comes into my mind, the Bible. When John the Baptist appears, and Jesus commenting about John the Baptist says, there is no one who rose so high like John the Baptist. But I'm telling you, among those that are being born from women, meaning from that, or the, who enter in the kingdom of heaven, John the Baptist is the lower level in the kingdom of heaven. And more other initiates are above him. And it's because this John the Baptist represents the human being that enters into the level of Yesod and reflects God only in that level. And then we find human beings ish related with the kingdom of Malkut, which is the earth. Those are the true human beings that the Bible says that the earth belonged to them. And that the Old Testament called them Jews because they belong to Judah. And you see, for instance, in the next graphic within the internet, you find that when that human being appears, after that, it says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals, or from the mysteries of the seven seals thereof?'" Strong angel is precisely a word that in Hebrew is kerub. Strong angels, kerubim. Those are the angels belong to Yesod. In Genesis is written that when Adam and Eve left Eden, God put as a guardian of Eden a kerub. And of course, that kerub is our own particular individual Lucifer, which is the sexual power, the strength in Yesod. Obviously, when the human being is created with the seven bodies, he needs to develop God within, the Logos within. And that's why it's written that no heavenly man, no earthly man, not even under the earth, which are the Hanas Mus, which are sometimes demons awakened, can unveil the written book, the seal book, or take the seven seals. These seven seals are related with the seven bodies. Mean that each body has a meaning, has a secret, has wisdom, knowledge, and is related with certain parts of the universe that have to reflect in the consciousness, because the human being is the image of God. Then, of course, the one that gives the sexual potency, which is that cherub, which is the stone angel called Lucifer, is precisely that force that needs the assistance of the Logos in order to develop that within each body. When I name this scary name, Lucifer, for the common and ordinary people, they think immediately in something evil. Catholic Church made of Lucifer something negative, because the monks in the Middle Ages, they didn't understand about the mystery of Lucifer, which is related with the tree of knowledge, which is in relation with that, with Gnosis. The sexual potency, which is the only energy that we can use in order to develop that, because God needs energy in order to develop that. And the one that managed the force of sex is Lucifer, which in Latin means carrier of light, which is not a person, but a force, a universal force, cosmic force. That Lucifer In the Ein Sof is the Ein Sof Or, the limitless light, the first emanation of the unknowable, within the unknowable. The Ein Sof Or is also called Christ in Greek terms, Avalokiteshvara in Buddhist terms, Kuan Yin in Taoism, Quetzalcoatl among the Aztecs, Kukulkan among the Mayans. And we find different names given unto that first emanation, according to the language which they speak in that particular religion. But I said in Kabbalah, they call it the Ein Sof Or. That's Lucifer, that unfolds and descends from the unknowable to the very bottom of the universe, which is a nine sphere. That's why Dante Alighieri found Lucifer in the ninth sphere, in the center of hell. Because Yesod is the very core of the earth. That is where that light really finishes its journey. Transform, sacrifice in different levels. And, of course, since we are the philosophical earth, we find in the physical body all the sephiroth of the tree of life. And Yesod is in the sexual organs. And that is the habitat of Lucifer, the sexual strength. And that's why that cherub is the one that is saying, who is worthy to open the seven seals? And those seven seals are related with the chakra Muladhara that we have. A magnetic center between the anus and the genitals that had to open. Any individual enters into the initiation and opens the fire, the kundalini related with the fire in the seven bodies in order to create the man. But if that individual wants to awake the light, the wisdom, the attributes of God in each one of the bodies, that individual needs the assistance of Christ. That Christ is Lucifer. That Christ is Avalokiteshvara. That Christ is Quetzalcoatl. It's the Ein Sof Or. It's not an individual, but works in different levels. That's why you find here the image of Jesus, of course, because Jesus came here to represent in this planet Earth the path that we have to follow in order to achieve that level of the image of God. And that's why the Gospels are written in Kabbalistic, alchemistic symbology. It's not that people think that you have to follow the personality of Jesus, who was and he is a great prophet, as Moses is a great prophet, as Muhammad is a great prophet, as the Buddha is a great prophet, and many other masters in the past that reach the level of the image of God. So when you find in the Mount of the Olives, when Jesus is praying, that is related with Tifereth, with the human soul of that initiate that is already a book that has already the seven bodies built. And he's praying because he knows that he has to develop the serpents of light, the attributes of God within. But he cannot do it by himself. Not even his monad can do it. He needs the assistance of the Glorian. And what is the Glorian? The Glorian is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or as in Kabbalah, we name it, Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. The three primary forces. The first Logos, the second Logos, and the third Logos. It is the assistance of the three Logos, because only the Logos is capable of developing the attributes of the Logos. Only God can develop the attributes of God. And that's why Chochmah, the second aspect of that Trinity, descends and becomes one with the Bodhisattva, with Tifereth. That union of Tifereth with Chokhmah, Kabbalistically speaking, in Christian terms, we will say the union of Jesus with Christ makes the Son of Man or the Son of God that enters and sacrifices for that particular initiate in order to develop the attributes of God. That's the only reason why Christ descends. That is what in Christian terms is called the second coming of Christ. What is the first coming? The first coming is the fire. That fire that creates the internal bodies. Once the man is created, then the second coming, which is Christ as light, in order to develop those attributes within the human being. And the whole book of Revelation is written in that way in order for you to receive that, because it was written by initiates that were doing that. That's why it's filled with mysteries, with symbols, that only those that are working in it and who develop that understand. They have to be initiates. The book of Revelation has been commented in many ways. There are many people that write about the book of Revelation, and they write what they think they might symbolize. But here we are, of course, writing in relation with the development of the human being. And that's why in the next graphic, you find that after Tiferet is praying, an angel appears and says, "Don't weep, because a lion for the tribe of Judah has found worthy to open the seven seals." Of course, that lion is a representation of the Ein Sof Or. The lion is related with the constellation of Leo. And you know, when you study astrology, you find that Leo is the heart of the sun. Christ, Lucifer, Avalokiteshvara, Quetzalcoatl, whatever name you want to give unto that light, which is in Kabbalah the Ein Sof Or, has a physical body. And the physical body of that light is made by all of the stars and suns of the infinite universe. If you can count the stars of the universe, then you are counting, we will say, the atoms of that physical body of that entity, which is called Christ. In other words, our sun, which is the center of this solar system, is one of them. That's why ancient Christians, where they were talking about the cosmic Christ, they were saying the sun. Because they knew that the physical sun that shines during the day is just a physical particle of that light which abides in the seventh dimension, in the zero dimension. From that dimension emerges, which is the Ein Sof Or, and appears in the physical world as solar light. That's why Jesus of Nazareth said 2,000 years ago, "I am the light of the world." Because was that cosmic Christ talking through him? So that light is everywhere. And of course, Leo is always related with the sun. And that's why when you said the lion of the tribe of Judah, it's not talking about any individual in particular. It's talking about the solar energy of the Ein Sof Or. You are found worthy of incarnate the Ein Sof Or, the light. Well, this Ein Sof Or, which is called the ray of Okidanok, divides itself into three, which is Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then that second aspect, which is called the Son, Chokhmah, descends and becomes the Lamb. Now, in the graphics, you find that there is a lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. This lamb with seven horns and seven eyes, that has the Hebrew word Amen in his forehead, symbolizes the seven mighty rays that develop in any solar system, meaning that the Lamb works through Leo. The solar energy, the sun itself, which is the channel of the Ein Sof Or, works in the solar system through seven mighty rays. And that's why a ram appears. Why a ram? Why a lamb? Because the writer of Revelation knew that we, in this day and age, in this root race, we are in the fifth root race. And the fifth root race is controlled by Samael. Because in this solar system, we have seven mighty archangels, or logos, which distribute, that organize the solar light, the Ein Sof Or, in this particular solar system. Because every solar system has seven mighty rays that organize the solar light. Every solar system. But this solar system, we have the names of those seven logos, or logoi, because that's the word for plural, logoi, which control the seven mighty rays of the rainbow, in other words, of that Leo that we saw in the other graphic. The name of those angels are Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Mikael, Samael, Zachariel, and Orifiel. Those are the seven. The fifth one is Samael. And we are in the fifth root race, the Aryan race, or the root race of Aries, the fire, the lamb. And that's why, because Samael is ruling, controlling this root race, the writer of the book of Revelation expressed the seven mighty rays through Samael, or the ram, which is a symbol of Aries. And if you look, astrologically speaking, the sign of Aries is ruled by Samael. Not only Aries, but also Scorpio is ruled by Samael. But in this case, the fire, because the sign of Aries is a sign of fire. And Christ is fire. So that is Samael, the fifth of the seven, which are, of course, expressing the force of the seven in the seven horns of the ram. Those seven horns are seven mighty rays which are coming from the fire, which is the ram. And that's why you find that even Judaism worshiped the lamb, they sacrificed the lamb. Therefore, the Ein Sof Or, Christ, descends from the Ein Sof Or through Chokhmah into the solar system in order to incarnate into that particular bodhisattva, into that particular book, which is that human being, that human soul, that Tifereth, that choose the direct path. Because it's not just because you are a human being, you are all going to incarnate Christ. Christ demands sacrifice, meaning if you want to be helped in order to develop the attributes of God within you, you have to renounce heaven. Because God is always, everywhere, sacrificing itself for the matter. So if you want to receive the help of Christ, you have to renounce, as the Oriental says, Nirvana, heaven. There are many Buddhas that when they enter into that initiation, they don't renounce. Because after being in hell for a long time, which is this level in which we are, and building the bodies and entering into those levels, those Sephiroth, those Buddhas, they don't want to renounce Nirvana. So therefore they remain there in that level. But only those that renounce heaven, paradise, or Nirvana gain the right to incarnate Christ. And that is the second coming. And they do it through the Lamb. Because, as you know, Tiferet, the soul, and the monad, belongs to any of those seven particular races. Because this is how the monads are organized. The spirits are organized in every solar system through the law of seven. There are monads, there are spirits that belong to the ray, to the first ray. Others to the second ray, others to the third ray, to the fourth, to the fifth, to the sixth, to the seventh. This is how they are organized. And every ray has its own attributes. So if you are, for instance, a monad that belongs to the ray of Samael, which is the fifth, then if you take the direct path, Samael, that logos, that fire, will incarnate in you. And will develop the attributes of your God within you. This is how the Lamb will sacrifice. But could be Gabriel, could be Michael, could be any of the seven logos. And of course, this is how that particular individual, thanks to the incarnation of Christ, is developing, little by little, what we call the objective reasoning of the being. That we speak or we spoke very plainly in the lecture related with Laodicea, or the church, the chakra Sahasrara. You find here, that's why below the Lamb of Seven Horns, the Ram of Aries, related with the fifth eye and with the fifth horn, which represents, of course, Samael in itself, which is the one that incarnated in the end of this root race in order to help and to distribute and to give the knowledge that we are given here. Because this knowledge belongs to Samael. This is the knowledge of Samael, the fifth eye and the fifth horn, the fifth logos of this solar system, which Dhyani Bodhisattva, or human soul, was incarnated in Mexico. But we don't have to mix the two things. One thing is the Dhyani Bodhisattva, which is the human soul that was in Mexico and that incarnated his own being. And another thing is the Logos itself. The Logos itself is everywhere in every planet of this solar system because it is energy. And Samael Onveor is his vehicle, human vehicle, that wrote the books and gave it to you. But that Logos is capable or has the power of ubiquity, which means can incarnate in any bodhisattva that belongs to his ray, because it's legions of angels of the fifth ray. He did it in the past. He incarnated in many masters and self-realized them, because the Logos has no limits. Logos is a Logos, a vehicle of the cosmic Christ. So then you find that in the development of those attributes of God, you can become a solar man. You see now, there's another title here. Solar man. What is a solar man? We say, oh, the one that has solar bodies. No. Anybody can build a solar batteries. It's not easy. It's difficult to develop the solar batteries. But if we compare the development of the attributes of God with the building of batteries, to build the batteries is easy in comparison with the development of the attributes of God within those batteries. Then, to become a solar man means to reflect in your consciousness all of the powers and attributes of God related with the solar system. You know that scarcely the official science in this day and age is discovering another planet. But we always stated that this solar system has 13 planets, being the sun, the 13, which is in the center. Because for us, the sun is also another planet. It's not a ball of fire. It's just another planet, which is the center, whose vibration is so powerful that we can see it from here as a ball of fire. But that's a lecture that you can read in the Transformation of Energies. We already talked about that. So 13 planets, meaning that there are 12 planets going or rotating around the sun. So to develop the attributes of all of those 12 within the consciousness is to become a solar man. You see, that's another level. Because within that development of the solar man, to reflect that is to be higher in the level of human beings. Because there are many levels. The first level, as I said, is the level in which that human being reflects only the attributes or the forces of this particular planet, Earth. There are many Egypts that have power on the elements, on the forces. Moses demonstrated that in the book of Exodus, how he was controlling the forces of the elements. How he was doing through the staff, which is the symbol of the spinal column. But if you read carefully, it was not him that was doing it, but Jehovah, his inner particular individual God, that was doing it through him, because he's the monad that does it, not the human personality. Moses had those powers because Jehovah was within him. As the master Abramento was within the body of Jesus of Nazareth, doing the powers that he had. Then you understand that to develop more powers related with not the planet Earth but the solar system is to become a solar man. But beyond that, the inner logos, the Ein Sof Or, through Chochmah, which is Vishnu, the consciousness of all of the universe, has to develop more. If that solar man wants to become a galaxy man, he can do it. A man that can't, or a human being that will reflect the powers of the whole galaxy. You see, that's precisely a higher level. That's why when we heard, or we read, or we see in TV, those people that think that we are the highest of intelligences in the universe. This planet Earth, he said, we, the human beings, and as Hollywood depicted the rest of human beings, the supposed other planets of the universe and other galaxies, as animals, as monsters. And we, the people of the Earth, very beautiful. And we call it human beings. And we are the human beings. The rest are not human beings. The fact is really very sad. Because the truth is that the true human beings are outside of this planet. And we are the animals. Because we are not reflecting, not even the powers of the planet Earth. If you see in your consciousness, you sit down, you meditate, what do you find then? Lust, anger, pride, laziness, gluttony. Do you see how this in TV now they are in the news about this man that was raping women in the basement, and he was saying, oh, it was not bad. What type of, is that the image of God? That's the image of Satan, of Klipoth. And this is precisely what you find in different countries. People that reflect Klipoth, hell, but not the earth, not the heaven of the earth. You find those, of course, but you have to look within the multitudes. There is one being there that is trying to help Tibet, which is the Dalai Lama. I am not going to point at him to say, this man is a reflection of what? Because he is personal. But he knows in which level he is. But obviously he reflects something that is not Klipoth. If you talk with him, his answers, his knowledge is different. It's not like when you talk, for instance, with Saddam Hussein. He reflects hell, or Bush, hell. But the one that reflects heaven, you see it in his answers, in his knowledge. Because he's talking about that. And he's practical. It's not just blah, 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 like many people that talk and talk about that. But when you see their private life, they don't see any practical thing about it. They don't do anything. So they come in their cosmic ships, human beings that reflect the galaxy in themselves. And they are preoccupied for the people of this planet Earth because they see that these people really are suffering. But that hell, that suffering is within each one of us. The first thing that the people of the Earth do when they see these extraterrestrials in their cosmic ships trying to enter into communication is to chase them with airplanes, not to shoot at them and to kill them. Because they think that they come and want to conquer us. Yes, these galaxy men want to become kings of hell. Give me a break. You know, they come to help, but we don't want help. We hate solar energy. We hate the solar wisdom. We are enjoying this lunar planet because the society of this planet is lunar. People enjoy and worship evil in different ways. But here we have this wisdom, this knowledge, in order for us to gain power as a human being. Not to gain power in order to control the neighbor. Because this is what the people always look for. I want power in order to make money. No. This is not power in order to make money. But only to make power in heaven. Treasures in heaven. As is written. In order for you to become a guidance. A guide. A vehicle. Of your own particular individual God. And of course, there are individuals that reach the level of a galaxy man. And then they gain the right to travel among galaxies. So you see, you had to gain the right to travel in the space. In order to travel in the space, you have to have the level of the lowest level of human being in order to travel in the space. But here are the intellectual animals of this planet that think that they are going to conquer the universe with their rockets. Obviously, those cosmic ships, which are propelled with gasoline or with that energy, liquid energy, is very antiquated, very poor, in order to conquer the universe. We need at least to use the solar light, which are the energy that those cosmic ships utilize in order to travel in the space. But in order to utilize the solar light, you have to be a solar man at least to know how to control the solar energy. So those galaxy men are helping and going from planet to planet, helping other humanities because they are vehicles of Christ. With this, I'm telling you that Jesus of Nazareth that came 2,000 years ago is not the single one that is a channel of Christ. There are millions of them, millions. When I said millions, I'm referring to those human beings that travel into space. No millions in this planet Earth. Because what we find in this planet Earth, millions of demons. And of course, there are different levels. Those galaxy men can continue their work, individual work, in their own particular book and reveal, you know, revelation, to reveal the attributes of God in another level, to become infinite men. You know what is an infinite man? Albert Einstein stated that approximately are like 100,000 galaxies in this infinite. To reflect 100,000 of galaxies in your consciousness is something amazing. Infinite. Only one infinite. Because there exists the thesis of the many infinites. After this infinite of Einstein, there is a void space. And after that void space is another infinite with other millions of galaxies. And let me tell you, there are human beings that reflect not one infinite, but many infinites. One of those men enter into the absolute and become a Paramartha Satya. That's why when we name the master Aberamento, Jesus of Nazareth, we say there are many millions of human beings that reflect Christ. Yeah, but in the level of Jesus of Nazareth, a master Aberamento, are very rare. Because Master Aberamento, Jesus of Nazareth, reflects many infinites in his consciousness. That's the type of human being that we are talking here, related with the absolute. And this is how you go into the different levels. And you are developing the attributes of God within your consciousness. And that is what we call the objective reasoning of the being. And that's why the Church of Sardis is here when they say that, and they sound a new sun. It's not like people think that they are chanting in heaven like little angels, certain chorus. And they are chanting that and worshiping somebody that is sitting there in a throne with a long beard. No. To chant, to sing a new song, means to develop a new level of reasoning. It's to reflect, because Sardis, which is the throat, is the area of the Logos, in which the Logos reflects the attributes of God in different levels. That's why everyone that reaches that level is willing to reflect another level, the attributes of God within themselves. That's called the self-realization of the being. And that's why this painter wrote, you see, in the Church of Sardis, which is a beautiful painting here, a monk reading a book, angels playing musical instruments, and the Divine Mother with the child of God within. That's the symbol, precisely, of that development that we had to do, we had to perform in order to achieve another level of objective reasoning. And that's precisely the great work that the Lamb, that the fire, that the Son of God performs in those bodhisattvas that renounce heaven. But as I said, we are now in a very high level explaining this in order for you to understand that the second coming of Christ is not like the fundamentalists believe, that Christ is going to come in the clouds there and chasing all the people that believe in him. Do you believe in me? Okay, come into my ship. Or come into my cloud. and those that don't believe in me to hell. No, it has nothing to do with beliefs. It has nothing to do with work. It's something internal. Christ comes in you if you deserve it. And if you want to deserve it, you have to reach at least the lower level of human beings to create the solar bodies. And then the second coming is. That's from the esoteric point of view, from the strict point of view. And this is why, because when you find, and when you read the Gospels, Jesus Christ promised to return. And when you read Pistisophia, written by the Logos Samael, the Red Christ of Aquarius, he said, I promise you that I will unveil the rest of the Pistisophia at the half of the time. Well, people think that he's going to come. There is some Gnostic there that appear and unveil the rest. That's a joke. As if Christ comes 1,000 times in the earth as a bodhisattva teaching the people, but if he doesn't come within you, it's just a waste of time. To unveil the rest of Pistisophia means Pistisophia is the consciousness that Samael, the Christ, the Logos, has to incarnate in you and to develop the rest, which means to make factual that you find in all of his books. And that's why Quetzalcoatl in Mexico also promised that to the Aztecs, to return. But they were waiting for a physical return, as the Christians are waiting for the physical return of Jesus. And that's precisely the big mistake. That's why Nietzsche appears, you know, in the last century and wrote his Das Spak Zarathustra. And he talks about the Superman. But Nietzsche ignored that the man doesn't exist, because the super in the man is Keter Chochmah Binah. That's the super. For that super to incarnate, the lower Sephiroth, the seven lower Sephiroth, has to be created. The man has to be created. But when you look in this humanity, you don't find human beings. You don't have the bodies. The only body that they have of humanity, of human beings, is a physical body. The rest is animal. The mind is animal. The emotion is animal. Even the will is animal. Whether we are animals or are humans, physically we are. We have the shape of them. But we have to build that inside. And then we can talk about the Superman. That's why when Nietzsche was talking, they said, well, one of the people said, oh, okay, shut up. Talk us about the man, not about the Superman. You just keep your Superman for you and talk about the man about us. It's true. We are here talking about the Superman, the other human beings. But first, we have to create the man in order to enter in those levels. And that's the process, precisely, that we are talking here. To take the seals of the book. For that, create the book first. Because if you don't have the book, how are you going to take the seals? And that book has to be created. And that's why the book of Genesis is written, the way in which God creates in different days, life. When that is created, then we can talk about taking the seven seals of those pages of that marvelous book, which is a human being. Do you have questions? Obviously, remember that Christ is not an individual, but an energy, as the electricity is an energy. They call it the Ein Sof Or. And that energy is all over the cosmos, all over the universe. And is organized in different cosmoses. We, of course, the human beings, are called the microcosmoses. And the microcosmos is written is the microcosmos of the macrocosmos. So in other words, this micro human being has to reflect. And in order to reflect something, it does it through the light. If there is no light, there is no reflection. Of course, Christ, which is that light, reflects in the consciousness through the initiation all of those powers and attributes of the Logos in the planet Earth, in the solar system, in the galaxy, in the infinite, because Christ is everywhere. Is that solar energy, the Ein Sof Or, that is the first emanation of the unknowable in order to create the universe in different areas of the space. To develop that and to acquire those attributes, those powers, the comprehension, obviously is from the atomic point of view, because we are the micro, the atomic part of the universe. We are the microcosmoses, physically speaking. But really, in truth, we had to develop that microcosmos. And the powers of Christ are within each atom of every body, of the seven bodies. Because Christ is that part that gives the consciousness into the atom. Remember that every atom is a trio of matter, energy, and consciousness. And that consciousness, especially that cosmic consciousness, that is called Vishnu. But unfortunately, our consciousness is asleep. We awake that when Christ works in us, when we open the doors. This is a serious work of alchemy. This is called the Great Work. The question is that, can we eliminate the ego without the solar bodies, or do we need the solar bodies in order to annihilate the ego? Well, it's a good question. The answer is this. We can eliminate. We are capable of eliminating the whole ego without solar bodies. There are many disciples that do it. The whole ego. But you don't develop any mastery. Well, when you have the bodies, it's not just to eliminate easier the ego. Because when you have the bodies, then you have the help of Christ in order to eliminate the ego and to develop in your consciousness the attributes of God. That's the big difference. Because nature, the abyss in Klipoth, disintegrate your ego, whether you have solar bodies or not. There are many people that descend into the abyss and their ego is going to be disintegrated. But they won't gain anything. They won't develop any attributes. People that go into hell and to be annihilated, their ego will be annihilated eventually, but they won't develop anything. Christ developed those attributes if you have the solar bodies. And then he helped you to annihilate the different levels in your ego, and you are developing knowledge of good and evil, and beyond good and evil. But they are, of course, disciples of the White Lodge that annihilate the ego without developing the attributes of God, which is called the path of the Buddha, or relative, called relative Buddha, in which you are annihilating the ego little by little, and you become free, and you become a simple elemental, which are always under the control of the gods or of the angels, but you don't have any power under your own will. You have to depend always on the will of others. But in this case of the initiation, you are annihilating your ego, you are creating bodies, and you are developing power with your own will. You see, it's a individual willpower. And that's a big difference. Because there are, of course, schools that teach how to annihilate the ego and learn to free the soul from hell, from suffering, which is good. But we are talking here about the direct path in which you are developing the attributes of God. And for that, of course, you have to annihilate the ego in combination with the assistance of the Logos. Another question? Well, the question is, how do we explain about that, what the Bible in Genesis says, that the man was created into the image of God? First, we have to state that the book of Genesis is a Gnostic book in order to guide you to create that human being into the image of God. With that, we are stating here that that human being or man to the image of God was created before, not only in the planet Earth, but in other parts of the universe. That men exist, of course, and existed in the first root race, and the second root race, and the third root race in this planet Earth. There were men into the image of God in Lemuria. But when were they divided in two sexes, they committed the mistake of eating from the forbidden fruit, and they lost that image. They became naked. That's the symbol of it. Those men are fallen bodhisattvas, fallen souls, that if they rise again, they will gain more knowledge. And the image of God will reflect in them better if they annihilate their ego, because they are demons. Any angel is an image of God. A man and an angel is the same thing. Any angel that falls becomes a demon. Of course, that image of God was there in the past. Now, since the fall, that image of God disappears from the earth. You find, of course, those men, few of them. You have to look everywhere in order to find them. Few men that reflect that image of God. But most of people, they lost that image. And we have to build them, or to build that image. That's the truth, because that's why the book of Genesis was written. Wasn't written just to tell the people what happened in the past. No. It was written as the book of Revelation, in order to teach you how to reach that level and to warn you about the dangers.
But people take that physically, you know, the meaning that we were physically created in the image of God.
Yeah, this is what people think, that the image of God is physical. There are even people that think that God is physical and that exists there in the clouds. The Mormons think that you, physically you are like God because God is physical there in the clouds, with a physical body. And that's, of course, very ludicrous to think in that way. Because God is universal, he's infinite, he's everywhere. Can have physical body and could be your physical body. But for that you have to build that image or to reflect that attributes not only in the physical body, but in all of your bodies. But God never has form, but take form in the true human being. That's why God creates a human being, because he wants to have form in the matter.
The name Samael, wasn't that originally the name of a demon?
Well, when you read many books in Kabbalah, you find that they name Samael as a demon. But because every logos has a double polarity, meaning that the ray controlled not only heaven, but also Klipoth. There is, for instance, a demon which is called the Black Samael, and is the demon Andramelech. Andramelech is a monad that belongs to the ray, to the fifth ray, which is the ray of Samael. And obviously, all of those demons, souls whose ray is Samael, reflect the negative aspect of that logos, because they are failures. In this case, we will say that not only Samael, but all the logoses reflect that in Klipoth, because the logos are beyond good and evil. And also Samael is related with the sign of Scorpio, which is a sexual potency. It's the fifth. When you count, for instance, the five centers, the fifth center is the sexual center. And Samael on the or means the strength of sex in Yesod. And that's why many Kabbalists or many books of Kabbalah state that the angel that tempted Adam and Eve was Samael. But that's symbolic. Doesn't mean that Samael himself was there. Meaning that the force of Samael expresses it through Aries and through Scorpio. And obviously, Samael is always tempting us through the sex. Because he's related with the sexual force. He's the logos. The fifth of the seven. And that's the meaning of that. But if we take literally, of course, also it is written that the bodhisattva fell. And there's another meaning. There are many meanings. The bodhisattva of Samael, the human soul of Samael, fell and became a demon. But a logos cannot never fell, or never fall, I mean. Because the logos is the logos. It's only the vehicle of Christ.
You said that Lucifer is another word for Christ, and that's another word for, you know, the soul alighter.
Yeah. That the question is why Lucifer is said, is stated that he's the first emanation of the Absolute, right? And also in the book of Perfect Matrimony states that Lucifer is a negative aspect of the light. Because Lucifer is Lucifer. Lucifer is a stair to heaven, or Lucifer is stairs to hell. Lucifer is situated exactly in the center of the earth. In this case, our philosophical earth, which is the physical body, the sexual energy. When you utilize that sexual energy in a positive way, when you transmute, when you become chaste, then that Lucifer, that Samael, makes of you an angel. But if you utilize your sexual energy in the wrong way, as this humanity is using it in the wrong way, that Lucifer, that Samael, that energy makes you a demon. Because you have free will to use the energy of the Logos for your benefit or for your own destruction. See, that's the free will of God. You can use it in different ways. But, of course, if I give you a knife and you kill somebody, you won't blame the knife. It's your will that does it with the knife. So the energy is like a knife. You utilize it for your benefit in order to cut and make food or to kill somebody else. That's why you are always judged by your deeds, by your actions. That's karma. But the logos is there. It's always helping, giving. But humanity just destroys the Logos. The Logos came, incarnated in Jesus, and what did this humanity do? He killed him. But he couldn't take advantage of him, right? It was a big sacrilege. But this is precisely what demons do. Utilize the force of the Logos in the wrong way. There's another question?
Do you distinguish between knowing God in essence and energy?
The question is how far a human being can go in this path. A human being can go as far as he wants because he's always free will. Even in the path, in the direct path that you incarnate Christ in order to go very far. But if you want to stop in a certain limit that says, this is, I don't want to go further, you cannot go. Nobody can push you. Force you to do it. You have always free will. And there are individuals, like I said, in the case of the Master Averamento, whose name in this planet is called Jesus of Nazareth. He went so far that is inimaginable. He has a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, because he developed many infinites in himself. To do that, I don't know. This is even beyond my understanding. But of course, you can reach that level also if you want. And after that, to enter into the absolute. Because when you enter into the absolute, you enter with different levels in order to keep development, in order to exalt yourself more and more.
Does someone like that retain their individuality?
Yeah, of course. That's precisely the point. That you attain and you retain your individuality within the plurality. And that is only understandable when you are within that. It's like, for instance, do you understand the individuality of this electric light in this focus, in this bulb? That individuality related with the plurality of all the bulbs of this planet Earth is one and many at the same time. Electric force expresses as one, but it's many. So the same is in the absolute. The absolute is unknowable. But every paramartasatya, inhabitant of the absolute, expresses that absolute in his own level.
So there is an unknowable.
Yeah, of course. Okay. The absolute is always unknowable. That's why the paramartasatyas sink themselves more and more within that unknowable, and they realize that is even more unknowable. And they sink more, and they realize that there's no bottom. It's more unknowable. The cosmic, common, universal Father, the Absolute, is always unknowable.
So you know, you don't see it then as a, like sort of a drop merging with the ocean, like becoming God, I guess.
Well, in reality, God is God's. The Absolute has many, many drops. Well, the thing is that many people think that we can become gods as we are right now. No. That's why we emphasize always annihilation. Because as we are right now, we are nothing. To become gods, we have to be nothing. Ain, nothing. Meaning to become that which we don't know. But see, we are as we are right now, we always will be what we are. I am Confucius. Your question?
You mentioned that the being can only incarnate once the ego is dead. Is the incarnation of the Father associated with the mountain of ascension?
The incarnation of the Father, the being, is related with the end of the first mountain. Meaning that when you reach the first mountain, you have to annihilate the ego in order to enter into the second mountain and to annihilate the rest of the ego related with that second mountain. In other words, you have to reach the level of Ishim in order to enter into the second mountain. You have to incarnate your monad. There's a lot of wisdom there, knowledge that you have to study very carefully and meditate. But the first thing that incarnates when you reach the fifth initiation is a human soul. But if that initiate doesn't disintegrate the ego, the monad, chesed, with geburah, do not incarnate. The ego has to be annihilated. The ego, we will say, to emphasize now, of the 96 laws. Because after that we had to annihilate egos of other laws. Only the ego of the 96 laws, which is related with Nahema, adultery and fornication. Another question?
What is the relationship between the 24 zodiacal elders and the Christ?
Well, it's with the galaxy. It's written there, the 24 zodiacal elders are related with the galaxy, the powers of the galaxy. They take the crowns and place them in the bodhisattva. But if he doesn't reach the level of the galaxy man, those latent powers will be there with that activity. So that's why seven mighty rays, or the seven horns. First you see, follow me. In order for you to understand symbolically and simply in general. The four beasts are related with the four elements of the earth, which make this physical planet Earth, the four beasts. Then the seven rays, the solar man. Then the 24 elders, the galaxy. And beyond that, of course, is Keter, which is related with the infinite. But to develop that, those attributes, it's a matter of working very seriously in oneself. Another question?
Who are the Malachim?
The Malachim are the kings of the earth. We will say the true human beings. A true human being is a Malachim, or the three wise men, in other words. One is black, one is white, and the other is yellow. Those are the transformations of the Malachim, or the kings, Tifereth. In order to become a Malachim, you have to reach Tifereth. When you reach Tifereth, which is the center of the tree of life, you become a Malachim, and you discover there is another kingdom there, the kingdom of the beast, 666, which is related with a human soul, and which is bottled within the ego, the beasts that we have within. This is it. You don't have another question.
I guess the hardest part, I guess, for me and probably for a lot of us is that, you know, we tend to think that we're taking our personality to the next levels, you know. It's like we're scared to lose our personality.
Yeah, the question is,
we want to see God with our own personality, that, you know, Richard Drucker, me personally.
Yeah, I know.
You know, see, you know, this personality that I have.
Yeah, this, the question is that, this, he says that, the question is, that we want to see God with our own particular personality that we have right now. Let me tell you that you can also see God with this personality, meaning not with the personality, that you can experience God and to bring that memory into your personality. I have this personality that I have right now. I'm using it in order to communicate with you, because the personality is necessary in order to communicate, in order to give this knowledge. Later on, you have to disintegrate the personality. But right now, I have to use it, as David was using the husband of Bathsheba. In the beginning, and after that he killed him. He sent it to the battle and said, kill him, you don't need it anymore. That's the personality. I need it right now, I'm using it. And I had many experiences with my inner being. And I remember that, and I'm in this very moment, is in my psyche, is in my consciousness, the memory of those experiences with my inner God. I have it. But if I want to develop those attributes of my own particular God, this personality has to be annihilated. Because God cannot exist with the devil together. He cannot mingle with the devil. And to tell you the truth, this personality is the devil. Here is the devil talking to you. But you are also devil there listening to this. Right? But we are in the process. Yes?
You talk about the scriptures and all these books as being, trying to understand the deeper meaning. It just seems like 99.99% of humanity would totally misinterpret it.
Yeah, the question is that the 99.99% of humanity misinterpret the books of the Bible. Not only the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita, the Buddha, the writings also of the Quran. They misinterpret it. And that's why we have trouble in humanity in this day and age. They think that if you suicide yourself and kill these unbelievers, you go to heaven. This is what people think. Yes, it's true. But if you kill the unbelievers that are with you, if you commit suicide, psychological suicide, which means meditation, annihilation with patience until you are completely dead, then you go to heaven. You go to God. That's the meaning of it. But if you read literally, and then you think that you have to kill the neighbor, and that's ludicrous. And that's why people, because they lack of knowledge, they interpret the scriptures and the books in the wrong way. Everything that you read, whether in the Bible, in the Quran, Bhagavad Gita, writings of Buddha, or many other religious writing, you have to apply it within. within, inside your consciousness. That's the clue. And of course, if your egos are your enemy in your path, obviously the egos of other people will be your enemies as well, of your own path. But you don't have to kill those egos of other people. You don't have to see the splinter in the eye of your brother, your neighbor. You have to see the trunk that you have in your eye. That's the clue. But of course, in this path, you always see people say, oh, this is lust. Oh, look, it's proud. Well, yeah, it's their problem. You deal with your problems, not with the problems of other people. Is that precisely the mistake of many instructors? That they want to annihilate the ego of others. And that doesn't work. You annihilate your own egos. Take care of yourself and let the people free, because God gives freedom. If God respects the freedom of demons, we also have to respect that freedom. If they're going to want to go to hell, bye-bye, bon voyage. They want to come with us, also good.
Wait, yeah? I just wanted to make a comment about misunderstanding the scriptures. We have to realize that people of today were so degenerated that that's why we cannot understand it the way it's supposed to be understood. Before, when it was written, these books were written, you know, 2,000 years ago or so or more, you know, we weren't as degenerated, so there were people who could understand it better. But nowadays, we have just come into such a progressive generation that it's true, it's only the few. You know, we're 97% ego, so that 3% of us that could understand it even don't even try. Some people don't even want to understand.
Well, so that's why we invite people to follow the path of the revolution of the consciousness, to develop inside, and then you will see what is written. You will understand what is written. Because the books, any religious book, is the word of God for the consciousness. Some people hate to hear this. Oh, it's the word of God. Yeah. Because it's the way in which we follow the path to our inner God. Other books, which are outside of religious books, well, just to entertain yourself. But those books, in order to understand them, you have to learn the language of God, which is universal, infinite. Don't expect that God is going to talk to you in English, because that language is only spoken here in this planet Earth, scarcely. The language of God is universal. You have to learn that. We have to learn that in order to understand God.
Why is it so hard to find the truth? Why isn't everything written clearly so anyone can understand?
Why is it difficult to find the truth? It's difficult to find the truth because people are trying to find the truth outside of themselves. The truth is within, because God is the truth. And each one of us has God within. Unfortunately, it's not developed. As long as you develop your God, you will see the truth, and the truth will make you free. And this is it. Thank you very much.
The presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help Telema Press reach more souls. Make a donation by visiting GnosticTeachings.org. For questions and deeper understanding of this lecture, we invite you to participate in the discussion forum available for free on our website. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.